listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Thank you all. We're excited to be back here tonight, this Wednesday. You guys can go ahead and sit down. You guys give it up for your pastors, though, first. Come on, let me hear you. Let me hear you. We love y'all. We love the city. Love your pastors. They're amazing. Do you know how much they love you guys? They just love y'all, love this church, love this city, and are passionate about reaching, passionate about each one of you. See it. God, seeing you fulfill your destiny and God-given purpose and creating avenues and atmosphere so that you can use your gifts and talents that God's given you. So love on them every chance you get and honor them the best you can because they love you all. And so we're grateful to be here. Thank you for having us again. Wasn't my wife amazing? I think she's phenomenal. She's the best. I'm so grateful that she's here with me and got my two little girls back there and my legacy here on the front row. Two-month-old son is here. So, let me ask you a question as we get started. How many of you have ever been given a gift that you never used? Anybody here? Been given a gift? Yeah. Ruthie and I have been given a couple of these since we've been married. We have actually two specifically that we were given as wedding gifts 14 years ago that are still sitting in the garage. One of them is a ice cream maker. I don't know how to make ice cream. I'm not going to take the time to learn. So if anybody wants an ice cream maker, give me your address. I might mail it to you. Or I like to tell people that I have one too, you know. The other one is a fondue pot. Actually, we did finally use this. We did finally open it because my daughter was like, "What is that thing?" And we made the mistake of saying, "Well, you melt chocolate in that." And so then I had to find a chocolate melting recipe. But now I'm like an awesome chocolate fondue person, so it's amazing, you know. I eat too much of it, you can probably tell, but that's all right. But no, you know, the gift that I was given that I haven't used in years, but it was the coolest, I think it's the coolest gift that I've ever been given that I don't use much, haven't used in a long time. And, you know, it just sits in my closet, and it's in a safe, it's locked away, and it's amazing. And it's a handgun. I love guns, and my grandfather really loves guns. He's really passionate about them. He has lots of guns. And so when I was a kid, he always took me out to the firing range and we shot, and you know, it was awesome growing up. And then when I turned 18, he gave me this handgun. He said, "Here, this is yours now, and take it and enjoy it, whatever you do with it." And so I took this gun, and I'm like, "This is amazing," and I put it in a safe in my closet and haven't opened it since. But it's there. I have one. If somebody breaks into my house, I got a gun, right? I got my concealed handguns license, so I can take it with me everywhere I go, but I don't. And, you know, I don't know much about it. Like, honestly, I can barely tell you what kind it is. I definitely do not know how to clean it, so I don't know if I went out and shot it, if it would blow my hand off or not. That's a terrifying thought that I think about. It's one reason I don't shoot it, because, like, am I going to have a hand when I'm done with it? But, you know, and that's really the thing is that, you know, we get gifts a lot of times, or we've been given gifts, and one of the things that if we don't understand that gift, or if we misuse it, it never gets fully utilized, right? It sitting in the closet is great. Like, I can say, "Yeah, I got a handgun, and it's awesome," but it doesn't do me any good just sitting there. And, you know, that's the thing is we've been given gifts, and some of them are just sitting there. They're just getting wasted. Look at your Bibles real quick. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. It says this. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. So, the gift that Jesus, that God has given us, is really the Holy Spirit, but he's also the one of the person of the Trinity. He's the least talked about, the least understood, and as a result, is the least utilized. But we can see throughout Scripture, he's also like one of the most important roles. He is the most important key that we can have in our life. And he's all throughout the Scriptures. He's from the very beginning. You look in Genesis 1-2, everything kicks off and it says, the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face. So right from the very beginning, there he is. He's appearing. He's on the scene. He's mentioned over 800 times in Scripture. Yet, we just really don't talk about him much. Because we don't understand him. And we don't put him to work in our life. And you know, the Old Testament word for Spirit is ruach. And it's wind or breath. Or a violent exhalation. A blast of breath. Listen to that. Listen to that power that comes from it. A violent exhalation. I love that. And then pneuma is the New Testament for Spirit. It's a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze or Spirit. You see, you can't hear the word Spirit in the Bible. You can't read it and it not mean power. It not mean strength. And so in Acts, he says it. He says, Acts verses 4 and 5, and then says, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. So Jesus is telling the disciples, he's telling the people, okay, stay here in Jerusalem, the place where I was beaten, where I was murdered, the place where it's the most intense right now, where people are going to come against you. Stay here as my followers. He says, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's saying, stay in this place where you're in the most danger, because the most important one, the greatest one that you could ever have as a part of your life, is coming. The one that you're going to have to need to fulfill the purpose and the call in your life. He's coming. But you've got to stay here and you've got to wait for him. You know, he's the one that's going to empower you to do the supernatural. He's going to empower you to do things. You know, you look at Scripture in the Old Testament, and what the Holy Spirit would do was he would descend on people at a certain time, and then he would ascend. So like he would descend on Gideon, and Gideon led hundreds of people into battle against thousands. And then he would ascend, he would go. And he descended on Saul, and Saul prophesied to prophets. Then he would ascend. And he would descend on judges, prophets, kings, and he would ascend. He would bring that for a short period of time. You know, David recognized the Spirit's difference so much in his life. He after he sinned with Bathsheba, he said, God, don't take your Spirit from me. See, he recognized the difference that the Spirit made in his life. How much the difference it makes in our life. And how much it can make and should be making every day to help us fulfill the call of God in our life. You know, Jesus, he didn't get kick-started in his ministry until the Holy Spirit. Right. You know, he went and he was baptized by John the Baptist. And it says, when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And then that's when everything got kick-started. It was when he got filled with the Spirit. Because it says before that he was emptied of the Spirit so that he could live as a man. And then he was filled with the Holy Spirit so he could fulfill his ministry in this world. See, you've got a call, you've got a destiny. And the way we fulfill it is with his Holy Spirit. Recognizing and acknowledging that, you know what? The power of God is on the inside of me to do his work in this world. Mark 1, 9 and 11, it tells about the story of Jesus. I'm not going to read it because I just told it. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us power. And we got to recognize that, okay, he's the one that's going to empower me to do things that I wouldn't normally do, that I couldn't normally do. Ruthie and I, we bought a couple homes since we've been married. The first couple we bought were foreclosures. They needed a lot of work. I thought, you know, I can do this work. No problem. I found out real quick, I can't do this work. I couldn't do it, you know. I can destroy anything. I can't put it back together. But when we started this one particular house, our very first home, it had like tile for hundreds of square feet. Just awful forms, little clay McDonald's tiles. If you got it in your house, I'm so sorry. But these are like those, y'all remember what I'm talking about? Those little orange McDonald's tiles, and they were clay. And so we bought this house, and I asked some guys, okay, what's the best way to take it up? And somebody told me, they said, oh, what you need to do is you just need to go get a chisel and a hammer, and they'll pop right up. Okay, I can do that, no problem. That sounds easy enough. And so I went, and I got the chisel and the hammer, and man, that sucker lied to me. Those things did not just pop right up. That thing, it took me 12 hours to do an 8x8-foot section. And I looked at the rest of the house and hundreds of square feet still to go on. What have I gotten myself into? Like, Ruthie, let's just put this thing on the market and be done with it, right? And so I kept asking around, like, there's got to be a more efficient way to do this. And somebody, this guy, I think, knew what he was talking about. He said, you need to go get a jackhammer. And there's a bid you can put on. He said, you need to go get a jackhammer. Okay, so the next day, as soon as I talked to him, I was like, I'm getting a jackhammer. So I went and got it, right? And what took me 12 hours the day before, I was done in like 40 minutes. I finished that whole job in 8 hours. It was amazing. It was so much fun using that thing too. But, you know, if you use it all day, every day, I know that you hate it. But for me, one day, right, it was a blast. I loved it. It destroyed stuff with the power. You know, but the thing is, it's like when we finally acknowledge that, you know what? I've got the supernatural power of God on the inside of me. Now, all of a sudden, what was really hard before or maybe impossible, now there's an ease to it. Or it becomes possible. It's like you're getting plugged into a power source that you didn't have beforehand. But it's when you start doing life the way He's called us to do life. It's when we recognize that, okay, there's something more, and it's the Holy Spirit, and I recognize that, you know what, He's in me for a reason. He's in me for a reason, and I'm going to use Him to do everything that God's called. I'm going to acknowledge Him. Right? And so when you begin to do that, now all of a sudden, life begins to come together, I think, even more. And because we can acknowledge and look at, okay, man, I'm going through this time right now in this season. I'm so depressed. I'm so upset. I'm hurting so bad on the inside. But we can be very quick to acknowledge that, you know what, that's a lie. Whatever it is that's causing something, depression, is a lie of the enemy. And that the Holy Spirit's on the inside you to edify you, to build you up, to comfort you. And that's what His role is. That's a power that He's bringing. And so you can just, as they say, praise on through that situation. You can give it to God and worship Him and look to Him and know that, you know what? No, this is just an external circumstance that God can use for the good. I don't know how, I don't know when, but He can use anything and turn it for good. John 14:26-27 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. That word is paraclete. It's paraclete. It just means helper or advocate. Helper or advocate. And so think of it this way. That you've got a helper, an advocate, a counselor. Somebody that's there to advise you, to edify you, to exhort you, to intercede for you, to encourage you. That's right there. He said, it's going to come alongside you. That word para means that come alongside. So that counselor, that edifier, that interceder, He's just coming alongside me everywhere that I go with you life. He's right there. Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor Joe said, the rabbi said that it was just breathing air. And that's how close God is. He said, He's inside us now. He's with you doing life. When you surrender your life to Christ, He fills you immediately. Instantaneously, you are filled with the Spirit of God. So that when you go about life, He's there. You know, and the person of the Holy Spirit, He's a person and He does so many roles. Listen to this in Scripture. He teaches, He testifies, He guides, He speaks, He enlightens, He strives, He commands, He intercedes, He sends workers, He calls, He comforts, He works. So see, no matter what it is that we're going through, the Holy Spirit plays a role in meeting that need. He's playing a role in meeting that need and saying, okay, I can comfort them during this time. You know, I can give them wisdom and guide them and direct them during this time and show them the things they need to do in the midst of this legal battle that they're going through. Show them the things that need to be done so that in the midst of this custody fight, there can be peace and the resolution that comes to fruition in a way where the child, what's best for the child is what's going to come, happen. You see, but it comes from, you know what, okay, I'm going to tap into the Holy Spirit, His wisdom and His guidance and His direction, because I know that when He's in it, the best outcome is what's going to come to pass. All right? So, number one is the Holy Spirit fills us and empowers believers. John 7, 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come out, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, so Jesus right here, what he's doing is he's going to address the need that we have, that something's got to be filled in our life. Because all of us have deep cravings, right? We all have. But the problem is people go to fill those with status, with money, with relationships. We look to fill them with work, with all kinds of different things, with marriage, except for what Jesus says is actually going to fill that void, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you rivers of living. I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. And when you're filled with my Spirit, you're going to understand that, you know what, okay, all I need is Christ. And then he's given me the power or the ability to do everything else he's called me to do in life. He gives me the strength to do it. I can't explain how, but he does it. He always comes through. He's doing it. He's in control. And it's all because I made that decision. You know what, I'm going to surrender my life to Christ. I'm going to surrender him. I'm going to relinquish control, and I'm going to let him do his thing. He's going to fill me, and he's going to empower me. He's going to fill me, and he's going to empower me. Empower me to do things that maybe sometimes feel uncomfortable. Like step out and encourage somebody. You know, step out and tell somebody about Christ. Yeah, Ruthie and I, we were in a church service one time. And the pastor said, you know, hey, let's turn and pray for those around you. And so Ruthie and I, we turned to those behind us, and, you know, it was one of those things, like most times you just put your, you know, God bless them, keep them, keep your guardian angel, you know, whatever, our Father who art in heaven, I don't know, whatever it is you want to pray. But, you know, and so we asked this couple, we said, you know, is there anything we can pray with you about? And he said, yeah, I actually went to the doctor this past week, and I was diagnosed with diabetes. And, you know, we're actually believing that God would heal us. Heal me, who's the husband. And so we just said, you know what, we believe that God is a God that heals. That he took our sickness and disease, our guilt and shame, our sin on the cross. And that today, he wants to heal you. And so we prayed for him. Didn't feel any magical powers or anything. Didn't feel any, like, goosebumps, none of that stuff. But the next week, he, like, tracks us down in the church. And he and his wife, and they're just crying. And he said, we went back to the doctor this week. And he said, it's gone. Like, my blood work, everything was normal. I don't have to take medication. And to this day, that was 15 years ago. That was before Ruthie and I got married. He still is not a diabetic. He still doesn't have to take medicine. Why? One time, one work of the Holy Spirit, God fulfilling his word that he says, I'm the healer, that he came to give life and life more abundantly, and that the enemy's the one bringing the sickness and disease, and that Jesus is showing that, you know what, no, I took that sickness and disease on the cross, and I'm going to bring my healing power into his body, and I'm going to heal. See, whatever it is you're going through, he is the healer. He's the one that wants to heal you. The situation or the circumstance you're in, it's not too big for him. It's not too big for me. You know, my wife, we've had three miscarriages. Four miscarriages or three? Three miscarriages. It's not my body, so I don't really remember. But we've had three miscarriages. And so, you know what? Those, somebody was believing God, I think, for to have a baby. You know what? You're going to have a baby. In God's time, it's going to happen. You know, it's not always on our schedule. But God's got a time. You know, I mean, ideally, we wanted our kids like a year and a half to 2 years apart. But our kids are all 4 years apart. You know, it's like we're starting all over with this kid. We get one of them done, and she's all independent. And now it's like, we got a son. We got to take care of this guy. It's brutal. If I would remember it, I don't know if I'd have done it. You got to think about what you're signing up for before you have these kids. So, you know, when we start doing life with the Spirit, we start doing life the way God intends for us to do it. And part of doing life with the Spirit is listening and hearing Him and allowing us Him to direct us and lead, guide, and direct our steps. Because He gives us wisdom and understanding on things that we need wisdom and understanding about. Things that we wouldn't necessarily do. He shows us how to do it and when to do it. Number two is Holy Spirit directs us to God the Father and Jesus the Son. John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me. So something very, very important to understand about the Holy Spirit is this. He will always direct us back to Jesus. Every time, 100% of the time, no matter what it is, it will always go back to Christ. Like, okay, He gave me wisdom on how to deal with this situation at work. And so now all of a sudden, there's pieces. Now I get to use this as an example to tell somebody else about Christ and how the Holy Spirit helped me. You see, it's always about Jesus, though. He always points us back to Christ. Because it's Jesus who saves us. It's Jesus who took our sin, shame, guilt all on the cross. It's Jesus who makes the difference. It's Jesus that says, here, now I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit's role is to always point people back to Him. Because He's the one that makes the difference in people's lives. See, it's through Jesus that we have a connection to God. Because of His blood. It's through Jesus and the Spirit of God. You know, you just always look and evaluate. And you can know something's the Spirit or not because you can say, you know, okay, is this pointing me and other people back to Him? Is it going to point me and other people back to Jesus? Because if it is, now I know that it's the Spirit of God leading me to do it. It's the Spirit of God giving me wisdom on how to do it. Teaching me, encouraging me, strengthening me. See, some of you just need encouragement. I just need encouragement sometimes. Or just like, man, I am down. Life is awful right now. Because life's not always great. Love it. You know, sometimes the Spirit, He just encourages. You're going to make it. You know what? God's a God of the impossible. Whatever, it's not too big. But God, He's got it. He's going to take care of it. You're walking in His will, His way. You're doing your best to serve Him. Doing your best to put Him first. God sees that. God honors that. We make it so much more difficult to serve God than it really is. We really do make it harder to serve God than it is. We make it harder to hear from God than it is. We got to try and do our best and look to Him and say, okay, I'm going to put you first. You know, and acknowledge, you know what? You look at life, and really, life is made up of a series of choices, right? You chose to come here tonight. It's good. Great choice. Some of you came to do yoga last night. Great choice. Hate yoga. Love people to do yoga. You know? Man, I hate that stuff. Stretching. Can't even touch my toes. I mean, it's yoga. What is it? Is there a food group? I want to be in a food group. Yeah. You're in the food group? I want to be in your food group. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, do yoga, then go eat food. But the Spirit, like, we make choices, right? Some are bad choices. Some are good choices. You know? This is a bad choice when I threw the remote across the room because I was mad. That's a bad choice. had to order a new remote because it broke. Bad decision. You know, I mean, that was a couple years ago. It was a bad decision when I slammed the door and I broke the door. Bad decision. Let me little new mom. Oh, man, this guy's out of control. That was a couple years ago, okay? But I still got the hole in my wall from when I did it. Gosh, you know, I think I gotta fix that one day. The hole in my wall. You know, why do we do things that we're like, now I gotta fix it. Now I gotta, you know, make it better. Sometimes we just bring problems on ourselves. And if we just step back and say, okay, let me get control. Let me take some time to step away from this, to seek God. Now His Spirit can give me wisdom on how to handle this situation. So we make good choices and we make bad choices. And really those choices can really determine whether or not we're going to hear from God or not. You know, or they show whether or not we're hearing from God and acting on His Word or not. Right? You know, I read this story that was really interesting. It was about Franklin Roosevelt. And, you know, he really didn't think people really listened to him whenever he was talking or whenever he would greet them for the first time. And so he said, I'm going to do this little experiment. I'm going to see if people really do listen to me. You know, it's about us making choices to hear from God, right? But this guy, he said, I'm at this dinner, and there's this long line of people wanting to meet all these ambassadors, diplomats, all these people. They're in this line, just normal people, too, wanting to greet him. And they come by and they're like, you're doing marvelous. We're so proud of you. You're awesome. We're so glad to meet you. And each person, he would say, I murdered my grandmother this morning. Every person, he would greet them that way. I murdered my grandmother this morning. You're doing so amazing. We just love you. We're so proud of the work you're doing. I murdered my grandmother this morning. He said it wasn't until the ambassador of Bolivia came by. And he said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And he said, the ambassador of Bolivia pulled me tight. And he said, well, I'm sure she deserved it. See? We gotta get, stop being so preoccupied with what we want to do and what we want to say and what's going on, and step back and make a decision. You know what? I'm going to hear from God. And I'm going to get quiet for a minute, and I'm going to listen. Okay? And stop saying, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And listen to Him and say, you know what? This is what you can do in this situation. And it's going to bring peace in your home. This is how you can approach your son or your daughter, and they're going to get turned on to me instead of continuing to come walk away from me. This is the love that you need to show, that you need to embrace someone. You know, I read a book by Billy Graham, or by people that wrote on it, and they asked him, they said, you know, what if one of your kids came to you and said that they were homosexual, what would you do? He said, I would work passionately to show them the love of God. He said, they would see the love of God coming out of me. He said, I would hate what they were doing, because it's contrary to the word of God. He said that I would love them with every ounce of my being. He said I would not treat them any differently. You see, how are we treating people? How are we treating people? Are we treating people the way that the Spirit of God is really leading us to treat people, the way that Jesus would treat them? Or are we treating people just what's natural to us? Which is natural to us is always going to be selfish. Right? Looking out for number one. Caring whether or not they know what's going on in my life and my problems. And or am I looking to serve them and help them and be selfless and say, you know what, I want to help you. How can I give to you during this time? How can I serve you? So now all of a sudden, when we take on that hat and we start serving them and looking to love on them, God's really ministering us in a way where our mind gets off our problems. Or we get peace in the midst of a storm. It doesn't make sense while we have peace. Anyway, Holy Spirit is awesome. So, some things that we need to do to stop missing Him. Or to stop not following His direction. It's this. Number one is stop being led by culture for direction. stop being led by culture for direction. Now look, there are some things that it's okay. You know, like, I'm not wearing hammer pants tonight for a reason. You know? But, you know, we need to stop looking at what is culture saying, that we need to say, what we need to do, you know, what we need to wear, what we need to watch, you know, the media and the news and all these things, you know. And because what happens is we allow it to stir up fear and worry and hate and anxiety on the inside of us and stress. And it's all because we're allowed external things from this culture dictate to us how we need, what we need to be living our life, how we need to be doing it, what we need to be thinking about. So stop being led by cult. Number two is this: stop being led by wrong friends. We need to love people. We need to love on everyone. But I'm talking about that close inner circle. Who are those people that you're doing life with? Are they encouraging you when you feel discouraged? Or are they making your bad days even worse? Are they pushing you closer to Christ? Or are they keeping you away from Him? You know, there's a famous person, star, singer, whatever you want to call it. And a few months ago, they had to go into rehab. And they talked to friends, and they were like, "What? Why is she back in this position after being sober for so long?" And they said, "Well, she started getting back connected with the friends she had prior to her sobriety. And people that she would go to clubs with, or that she would start to go to parties with and things." And they said, you know, it was, at first it was just she would do a party with them. And then it was like, well, now she's going to clubs with them regularly. And then it led to the place where now she's doing drugs again. And her sobriety had ended. And so she went to rehab, and now she's out. And I was reading about her the other day. And they said, she's happier than she's ever been. Life's great. And they said, well, what do you think is the difference? I said, well, all the people that were taking her that direction, or that took her in that direction, they're now all out of her life. And she's surrounded with people who don't take her to those places, who don't practice those things. See, who are we surrounding ourselves with? Stop being led by wrong friends. Number three is this: stop being led by other sources. People, horoscopes, books, counselors or psychiatrists that aren't Christians. It's amazing to me. I will talk to a Christian, somebody that loves Christ, and their counselor or psychiatrist has told them to do something contrary to God's word, like regarding their marriage or, you know, regarding just something going on in their life. And I was like, oh, really? Your counselor told you that? You know, they told you. Oh, no, they're not a Christian. They don't believe in Jesus. What? You know, this head tilt. Like, what's going on? Like, you're doing something that you know is contrary to God. But yeah, this person's highly recommended. They're like top of their field. You're just like, no. You know, go to somebody and listen to somebody that believes and has the same values that we believe, that you believe. I mean, let's use common sense so that we can continue to stay tapped in and hear from the Spirit of God and get Spirit-led wisdom from people. So, number four is this: stop being led by circumstances. This one gets me more than any of them. I've got a friend, you know, I need more money, so I'm going to take this job. A job that I hate, a job that I don't want, a promotion. I had a friend who took a promotion, right? Great money, lots more money. But he was going to have to move, and so he and his family moved. They hate life now. Hate it. They were so happy before. Just because you're getting offered a promotion at work doesn't mean it's what God's wanting you to do. Because they were so much, he told me, he said, Adam, I just wish I could go back and tell him no on this promotion. So yeah, it meant less money, but we were so happy. And now I'm away from my family. I'm just stressed out all the time. So why it's so important to hear from the Spirit and listen. And what is he saying? Is he telling you to take that? But we allow money sometimes to dictate. And so we say, I need more money, so I'm going to take that job. Or I need more money, so I'm going to stop giving. I'm going to stop tithing. That's normally number one. It's like, okay, I need more money. Where can I get more money? I'm not going to tithe anymore. That's crazy. It doesn't call it what it is. Like, when we need more, we should look to give more. It doesn't have to be money. You look for more opportunities to give. You continue to tithe, but you need more so you can say, okay, how can I serve someone in a greater way? How can I serve the church in a greater way? How can I serve this coworker in a greater way? What can I do to give more of myself so that I get my eyes off my own problem, but I also give God something to work with? Yeah. See, because my grandma says it this way, what you put out on the water comes back. I think it's really funny. But Scripture says it this way, you reap what you sow. Or you sow and you'll receive. You'll reap. So, you know, how can you serve people? What can I do? It's like, I need this. So that means I need to put more of God's word to work in my life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his word is give, give, serve, serve, love, love. What happens is we're being ruled more by the Spirit. And so we're getting then Spirit results. Lives are being changed. Our life is changed and impacted because of it. And we're not stressed out and worried all the time because maybe we get a certain doctor's report. Because we know now that, you know what? Okay, that's what the doctor says, but the word of God says this. And so I don't have to live in an anxiety-filled life because I'm not letting circumstances dictate to me the way my life should be, or the way my family should be, or the way my work needs to be. I'm just allowing the Spirit of God to dictate to me what life should be like and what I need to do. So stop being led by circumstances. Number five is this. Stop being led by feelings. Feelings. This is like one of the biggest things. It's like, I feel tired, so I'm not going to be from the blame. I feel angry, so I'm going to slam the door. I feel angry, so I feel frustrated. I feel depressed. I feel stressed out. I feel, and so we allow the next word then to dictate what our action is. I feel depressed, so everybody around me is going to know I'm depressed. I want to make sure everybody knows I'm angry. I want to make sure that person knows that I have not forgiven them. Because I have, because I don't feel like I have. I'm so angry. Like, I love every stage of pregnancy by faith. You know, but I'll be honest, I'm so glad Ruthie's not pregnant anymore. Because those feelings, man, were outrageous. Whoosh, we're over here, and the next minute we're whoosh over here, right? And then it's still the same way, kind of, because it's whether you're not getting enough sleep at night or not. She's not. I'm that way. She's amazing all the time. All the time. God is good. But no, I can say that because she says that. She's like, I'm so sorry you had to endure that during my pregnancy. I'm like, I am too. But she's amazing. Yeah, I can't lie up here. You know? So anyway, but stop that and start this. Start, number one, seeking him. Start seeking him. What are ways that you can seek him? What are ways that you can get in his presence? Is it prayer? Is it his word? Is it worship? Is it church? Where can you get around him and hear his voice? Number two, obey him. Some of you know exactly what he's told you to do. You know what you should do. You know where you should be serving in church. You know that what job you need to be taking. You know what you need to do to bring peace into your home. You know what it is that you need to do. You know that you need to forgive. You know that you need to learn how to walk in joy. You know that you got to work on growing in the area of patience and humility. You know exactly what it is, and he's told you. So now it's just time for obedience, okay? It's just time to obey. And the way that we do that, though, we do that by hearing from him because he gives us the steps to do it. And we do that by his strength and the power that he gives us on the inside of us. Because it's only by his grace. It's only by his grace that I can overcome anger. It's only by his grace that I can become a patient person. It's only by his grace that I can walk in humility. It's only because Adam is selfish. Adam wants to do what he wants to do in his own way, in his own time, in his own strength, in his own ability. Adam wants to do certain things. But God is saying, no. Adam, I'm calling you to forgive. I know they hurt you. I know they abused you. I know they did wrong to you. And in your mind, and in other people's mind, you have every right not to forgive them. But I'm saying you got to forgive. And you know what? It takes the power of God, the strength of God, the Holy Spirit on the inside of me to say, you know what? I forgive you. I forgive you, and I love you, and I want the best for you. Not that, okay, I forgive you. No, Lord, let everything they touch fail. You know, not that. I have prayed that. I forgive them. Lord, let them fail. Let everything they touch die. No, you know, I mean, like, honestly, it's just, it's hard sometimes. But you know what? He gives us the strength to do it. When we rely on His Spirit, and we say, okay, God, I'm going to give it to you. Time and time again, Lord, I forgive them. I choose to forgive them. They may not deserve it. They haven't earned it. But I'm going to give it to them. I forgive them. I'm going to honor them. I'm going to love them. Why? It's because it's what you would do. And you give me the power to do it. So hear God through Scripture, through His Word, through prayer. You know, when you know the Scripture, you know what it is that God's telling you to do. When you know His Word, you know what it is that He wants you to do when He wants you to do it. You know, when I grew up in a single parent home. Two older sisters, a younger brother, and a younger sister. I'm in the middle of five. My dad passed away when I was 6 years old. My mom, she was a school teacher growing up. School teachers don't make a lot of money. She was a school teacher in a private school, so she made even less money. And so, private Christian school that we went to. But you know what? She was always like faithful to give. First thing she did was like, okay, we're going to give. Even though it doesn't look like we're going to have enough after we give, we're going to give. And God's going to take that 10%. He's going to bless it. He's going to take the 90%, and He's going to bless it supernaturally. And explain it. He's just going to do it. And I'll never forget, we were at the bank one day. And we're driving through the bank at the, you know, and we're sitting in line. And all of a sudden, like, this lady comes up and knocks on our window. That will freak you out at a bank. Okay? Somebody knock on your window at a bank like that. That's a scary feeling, you know? And so this lady, she's like, hey, roll down your window. And she was in the car behind us. And she said, here, I just feel like God wants me to give you. See, sometimes God leads us just by an inner feeling. And we know it's Him. And we know it's Him because we know it's His Word. And so, you know, if you have a feeling on the inside of you that you're supposed to do something and it's going to point someone to Jesus or it's going to help someone that's in need, I can promise you that's not you. And if it is you, what's the worst that can happen? Somebody just got blessed because of it. Somebody just got helped because of it. You know, and so this lady, she handed my mom this piece of paper. It was a check. And my mom opened it up. And it was $500. It was what we needed. Food. Pay our bills, pay some of the bills and things. God provided supernatural. When we do life God's way, we give Him something to work with. When we do life God's way, what we're saying is, you know what, God, I'm putting you first in my life. I've surrendered to you. Your Spirit is on the inside of me. I'm going to allow your Spirit to lead, guide, and direct my every step. And when you lead, guide, and direct my every step, I know that you're in it. I know that you called me to do it. I know that that's the purpose that you've given me at that time, in that season. And so you're going to provide. Or you're going to make a way. Or you're going to give me whatever I need to make sure that that gets done. Because it's what you've called me to do. It's not what I've called me to do. It's not what I want to do. I do it because it's what you've told me to do. And I'm listening to your Spirit and I'm obeying your Spirit. I'm using it because He's a gift that you've given me. See, it would be awesome if Jesus was in this world. Wouldn't it? But you know what? If you got sick, you'd have to get on a plane and come to Dallas, Texas, where He would obviously reside. And so you'd have to come to Dallas, and He'd have to lay hands on you, and you could get healed. But you know what? You don't have to do that. Because we have the Spirit on the inside of us when we surrender our life to Him. The one who worked the miracles through Jesus is the same one that can reside on the inside of you, on the inside of me, when I say, Jesus, I'm giving you everything. And at that moment, a supernatural exchange happens. And He says, I'm going to give you my Spirit. And He's going to lead, guide, and direct your steps. And He's going to minister to you when you're in need. And He's going to give you the things that you need in the times that you need them, so that you experience my love and my goodness for your life. You know, I've got three kids now. And I just think about Tova, like if I took all this time, I made her this perfect gift. And I knew that, you know what? If she uses this gift, when she uses it, is going to change the world. Like literally, it's going to propel her to the top. And the world is going to be changed because she chooses to use this gift that I made. Or I think about Ziba, and if I took all this time and before she was born, and I made this perfect gift, and it was just this amazing gift that she loved, and it was pink and purple like she loves, and you know, and all she had to do was take this gift and use it. And when she used it, she'd be like the perfect mom and have the most, the best family in the world, and people would look at their family and be like, wow, I want a family like that. Family that love Jesus and they're healthy and they're always having fun. You know, if she just took that gift and she used it. Or Arden, you know, like I made him this gift that if he used it, he's going to be a supernatural athlete. Come on, Jesus. I know I'm not athletic, but we can believe God. Give him 6'8" somewhere. No, it's not going to happen. We can hold on to tennis, though. Let's go with tennis. So, and I made him this perfect gift. It was like, you're going to be the most amazing tennis player the world has ever seen. You're going to shatter records. You know, if I made him that gift, and all he had to take it to do is use it. All Tobe had to do was use it. All Ziba had to do was use it. And if they just used it, everything would change. Their lives would change. People's lives around them would be changed. This world would be changed because they were choosing to use the gift that I made them. And not just put it in the closet. Put it in the safe. See, because you think about that, the flip side of it. If I know the potential that's in those gifts. But I see them, and all they've done is they've just put it in the closet. And they've just locked it away. And I know that all you got to do is go open the gift. Everything changes when you open the gift. Everything changes when you understand the gift. Everything changes. The moment you begin to utilize it, everything changes. The moment you say yes to it, everything changes. The moment you say, I'm opening this gift. Now I'm putting it to work in my life. And look at everything that's changed because of it. All I got to do is put it to work. All I got to do is use it. All I got to do is recognize it and understand it and utilize it. And now all of a sudden life gets full. All of a sudden now life has changed. Not for me, or just for me. The entire world, people are changed. Because I'm choosing to use the gift that was given to me. See, Jesus gave us the greatest gift of all. He gave us His Holy Spirit. He's given it to us. All we have to do is use it. All we have to do is listen. All we have to do is obey. All we have to do is serve. All we have to do is say yes. The moment we say yes to Him, and the moment we say yes to doing life the way that His Word says to do it, is the moment we begin to see His promises come to pass in our life. It's the moment we begin to see this world change. It's the moment we begin to see everything around us, everything we come in contact with, be able to get changed because of the supernatural power, because of the supernatural power on the inside of us. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we love you. I love you so much. I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to come here and worship with my family of choice in Grand Rapids. Lord, I just pray that you bless each one of them in supernatural ways that we can't even fathom. But God, tonight we're choosing to put you first and serve you and do the things that you call us to do in life and start putting your word to work in our life and do the things that you're telling us to do. If you're here tonight, I want to make sure that I do this first, but if you're here tonight, you say, Adam, I'm far from God. And I want to get some things right with him. I want to get close to him so I can hear his voice, so that I know what it is I'm supposed to do. What it is, I'm going to pray with everyone here, and I want you to know that when we pray, when you say this prayer and you mean it, that great exchange that I talked about earlier is what's going to take place. And when you say yes to Jesus and you surrender your life to him, he's going to immediately, instantaneously, right now, fill you with his spirit. Maybe not necessarily feel it all over your body, but you know what? He will fill you with his spirit instantaneously the moment you say yes to him. So everybody say, just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are the Son of God. That you died on the cross. But that you live today. Jesus, I ask right now that you forgive me of my sins. I'm choosing you. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Use me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Pray for each person here. Lord, that we have acknowledged you as Lord of our life. And that you say you intercede for us. That you speak to us, that we can hear your voice. Lord, the stranger's voice we will not follow. And I know everyone here is in different places in their life. They're going through different things. But Father, I would ask that you begin to minister to them right where they're at. With whatever it is. Lord, if it's a healing they're needing, that you would encourage them right now. That you would give them that healing. You would supernaturally heal them. Father, that whatever it is, that brother that's in the hospital, or the crazy co-workers, Lord, that there would be peace in their workplace. That you would show them what they need to do to interact, how they can best interact with that co-worker, how they can be a co-worker to them. Helps them and serves them. Father, I just thank you right now, Holy Spirit, that you're speaking to us. Just listen to him. Would you take just a couple seconds and just let him just listen to what he speaks, because he's speaking right now to many of you. I'm so grateful for your love, for your mercies, for your grace. I'm so grateful for your acceptance. That you accept each one of us just right where you're at, and you welcome us into your kingdom. Holy Spirit, continue to minister to us. Continue to lead, guide, and direct our steps. Comfort us, give us peace, wisdom, strength, encouragement. Lord, we love you.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.